streaming worldwide at lakeshorepublicradio.org. I'm Tom Lounges, your host of Midwest Beat, a program all about art, books, acting, music, you name it, we cover it. And today we've got a great two-hour show for you. Coming up on the second half, we'll be talking about the dark arts. We'll be playing an interview with the one and only Magic from the Asylum. It's dark magic that'll be performed this Sunday in Hobart, Indiana, as well as at some haunted houses. But for the first part of the show, we'll be guested in studio by members of Stop, Drop, Rewind. Modern rock with a progressive feel, and it's all coming up. You'll hear brand new music from the guys after this. Thank you for listening to Lakeshore Public Radio, 89.1 FM on the dial, and streaming worldwide, lakeshorepublicradio.org. This is Midwest Beat. I'm Tom Lounges, your host, and this program is all about music, the arts, and all the things that are fun in life. So today, we've got a double-hour show, as always, on Friday. Coming up the second half, we'll be celebrating the dark arts. We'll have the Magic from the Asylum in studio to talk. We'll be talking to two magic makers about a show they're doing in Hobart, Indiana on Sunday. And also, they'll be performing at some of the local haunted houses. So we'll find out a little bit about Magic from the Asylum on the second half of the hour. First half, we've got some old friends in. We've got Stop, Drop, Rewind. They are modern rock with a progressive feel to it, a little jazz overtones, and kind of hard to describe these guys, which is exactly why we're going to play some of their music to get it started. They have new music from a new album coming out. We've got three of the four members in studio. We'll talk to them about the new project and some of the old stuff, too. But right now, let the music do the talking. This is brand new Stop, Drop, Rewind and Floating Stone.
It's a cross that you can't climb to.
How often do you discover that stones float? Well, it does here at Midwest Beat. Floating Stone, name of that song, brand new stuff from Northwest Indiana / Chicagoland band Stop Drop Rewind, who are getting ready to drop a new album. In studio, we've got Chris, DJ, and Andy, and guys, welcome.
Thank you.
Welcome.
Now, this is a new album coming out. When is it coming out? What's it titled? And give us some info about it.
We're trying something different this year.
Okay.
As we've discussed on the show before, we've been a band for quite some time already, and DJ and I have been playing for longer than that. The industry changes quickly, as you probably discuss on the show all the time.
Yes.
So we're doing singles this year.
Oh, so it's not an album.
It's not an album.
I was misinformed.
It will be released as an album
when they're
done.
Yes.
So you're not wrong. It's just we're writing them, recording them, and releasing them right away so that people have constant access to new music from us all year long.
And that seems to be the secret formula these days?
We're kind of trying it out for ourselves.
Who knows?
Okay.
Right?
I don't think there is a secret formula.
Yeah. So these are only going to be available digitally then? You're not going to release them on any kind of physical format? Until the album comes out, yes.
They will be available on all streaming platforms, Google Play, Apple Music, Spotify, YouTube. You can make your own Stop, Drop, Rewind, Pandora station, and they'll be on there.
Mm-hmm. That's like talking Greek to me. I don't do that online. Pandora station?
Honestly, I don't either, but a lot of people do. Pandora is actually really cool for
I've heard of Pandora. I don't have a clue what it is.
That one's already that's like gone already, basically.
It's the coolest one, I think. So obviously nobody uses it anymore.
Spotify is like the main one that everybody uses.
I've heard of that too. So your songs are up there for free to listen to?
Yes.
Free to stream, yep.
Okay.
If you have a subscription.
Spotify has a free.
As does YouTube.
Section.
Yeah, but I don't think that you can type in the song.
You can't pick, We could not sound older right now.
You can listen to them on the radio thing if it's like, you know.
Yes.
If it's suggested by
something else. If you don't pay for it, they kind of drive what you listen to. And if you have a subscription, then you can pick. It's like having your
a private jukebox.
A record player or collection or an iTunes library or whatever. Or a large stash of sheet music that your employed musicians in your household play for you when you entertain the dignitaries from the next fiefdom.
Now,
that's a music history joke if you're driving through.
Long story short, we're seeking patrons.
Well, you can do that now, too.
Yeah, I know.
That's back.
I was going to say, how do you make money on that? I mean, if you don't sell a physical product, you don't make money.
No, they pay you.
So now you truly are starving artists.
You get paid per streams.
Okay.
Not a lot. The patron joke that I just referenced, some bands have to monetize the streaming model, they have a Patreon, which is people can donate or become patrons of your band, and you pay a monthly, like $1 or $2 a month.
So and that money goes to that band.
It goes to the band, and then what the idea is that you get things for that. You get special content. Yes. Yeah.
Interesting.
We don't do it though.
A band that I have been following for a long time does it really, really well, and they grow. They have like thousands of people at each tier. So like some people do $1, some people do like $5, some people do $10 a month, and you get more stuff as you go up.
Huh.
So I mean, I forget what the numbers were the last time I looked, but people in the $10 to $20 range per month were like several thousand people, and then more thousand people in the
dollar. So they're having some serious income
in addition to their paid performances and stuff. And now, merch.
How do they find you? How do you promote? Okay, we're a band out of the region. How do you promote yourself to people that might like your music in Oregon or in London or wherever, where these people will subscribe because they don't know you, they can't hear you live, so now they want to hear your music. How do they even discover you?
That's a good question.
Well, your recorded product is different than your live product.
Yeah.
You know, and it's designed differently. And
okay.
It's a product in itself. They may not discover you based on your live performance, but they may discover you based on something that they heard or they saw that is electronic.
You know, you plug in your favorite London-based progressive rock band on Pandora, And there's a chance that our song comes up on that station.
Because it's similar?
Yeah, exactly. Yes. Okay. They pair it with similar artists.
Okay.
A hot thing right now is Spotify playlists. We're kind of behind on that, if we're going to be frank on this interview.
Okay, be frank.
Yes.
No, be Darryl.
So we're trying to, that is one of our goals with these singles. We realized we're a little bit trying to get better about being on. People have curated streaming playlists where they have followers who follow their playlist and they put new music on there.
It's kind of like being a radio DJ.
Okay. Yeah.
So you find someone whose tastes are similar to yours, and you just kind of piggyback.
It's still
on
them. It's still tastemakers, that kind of thing. We're working on that. The best way we've found so far is getting out and playing in front of people, for retaining meaningful new relationships with people who like the band. DJ and I are in the middle of a run right now, and we've been trying to do more indie music festivals in the summer that season. Because people who want to find new music tend to go to those. So we're trying to... I feel pretty good about staying on top of those. The totally. Spotify playlist thing, the curated playlists, is something we're trying to work on.
So the two of you go out as a duo.
Yes.
And play music that you then bring to Stop, Drop, Rewind. Is that right?
Correct.
Am I following this?
Well, we take all the merch and it's the Stop, Drop, Rewind product. It's just, you can... it's more affordable. How about that?
Okay.
It's a smaller car we take, and then also we can play smaller places like coffee shops and stuff, and meet people in new venues and things.
Right. We're laying the groundwork by playing coffee shops and small bars as a duo, so that when we go out as a full band, we have a foundation of people who are familiar with our product and come see us.
That's a unique approach. I've not heard of bands really doing that. I know they play acoustic versions of the shows, but to actually kind of split the band in half and doing recon.
Yeah,
so
that's a good way to think about it. Yeah.
Wow, interesting. And Andy, what are you doing? Well, they're doing all the hard work.
Oh, and here's the new song. All right, go.
I try calling Tom Lounges, and he pushes me off to his wife, who says something like, "Oh, Tom's
in a meeting."
Yeah, Tom's in a meeting. He's taking a bubble bath right now.
So, but seriously, you do a lot of the bookings and the business side, I guess you'd say. Well,
locally,
and
I would say. Yeah, okay. I would say locally, and regionally, I guess. And then also. We also all write together too, so that's a big part of it, And I try to handle more the business management side of stuff, that type of thing.
Now, what's Matt's role besides obviously being a member of the band? It seems like you all have your own jobs to do.
Yes.
Yeah.
Matt has. We've integrated into the writing process as well, so we all meet.
Now, is Matt the newest member?
Yes, he is.
Okay, I thought so.
What was I going to say? Oh, I end up meeting someone probably about three times a week in addition to our playing. So we've got Matt up to speed on most of the back catalog now, but I was working with him because I write a lot of those guitar parts, at least for the older stuff. And so kind of working through that with him. And then some combination of DJ and me, and then Matt will meet. And then we meet with Andy once a week also.
Mm-hmm.
So Matt's pretty involved with the writing process. We meet at least once a week usually to do that. And we've been trying to step up the frequency that we've been doing that this year with trying to release the singles at a consistent cadence. I'm trying to get Matt on the Spotify playlist.
Okay.
This is in the middle of... I have not sent him the files I need to send yet. We're literally in the middle of setting that up.
Okay.
So that's going to be his job.
So with... you mentioned that you wrote the guitar parts on the early stuff. You've always been the bass player, though.
Correct?
So, yeah.
No, well, for a while, there were only two of us in this band.
Oh, yeah.
And we both just played acoustic guitar. It was just Chris and I.
When we go out as a duo, I play guitar. So I played guitar last night and tonight and tomorrow when we're out.
Because it reminds me of Paul McCartney. He would write on guitar, and then obviously in the bands, he would always play bass.
Boy, I hope my family's not listening to this.
Not a McCartney fan?
No, they just think that I am... that my ego is big enough.
Oh, okay. But the writing style, that is what that reminds me.
Yes.
I write from bass. I write 2 days tearing him
down.
Yeah,
no, I write from bass sometimes too.
Okay. Interesting. So the process of writing, now you guys have released physical products, CDs are out there. Have you done vinyl? I don't think you have.
No,
we have not.
Any desire to dabble in vinyl, even if it's a single, just a promotional single?
I don't know if people that are into us would be into that. You know, we haven't got any requests for it, except maybe the occasional one-off request.
From me.
Yeah, right? I don't know. If we got more interest in something like that, we would. But, you know, when it comes to merchandise for our fans and for this new music era, like Chris was saying, your merchandise is kind of more like a souvenir from the live show, like a remembrance piece, and that includes the CD. You know, unless you just listen to CDs in your car exclusively, most people listen to their, you know, phone or their iPod or
Pandora.
Nobody has an iPod anymore. Yeah, nobody has an iPad anymore. So it's like,
I never even got one. I'm that far behind.
Yeah.
Wow.
I lost a small one that I had, and I love it. I hate streaming, but I lost it in like a field, so I couldn't find it, and now I have streaming, and it's really convenient, and I hate it.
Okay.
No, Andy's right. There's not a lot of demand for us for vinyl. If you're listening and you want some Stop Drop Rewind vinyl, let me know. We don't.
I think there's a service where you can like sign up and people can go to the website and order your vinyl store or something and order one a one-off if they really want one. We could probably set that up, but we haven't really got any questions about it.
That is a thing that people do right now. It's just it's expensive to get them, to produce them, and if there's no demand, then we just have inventory just sitting around.
Okay.
Right.
Gives you something to sign, though.
We can also sign the CDs.
But they're small.
Andy's wife. They open up. Andy's wife does these, like,
four signatures on a little, you know, 3x3 square.
Oh, they open.
No, she does a nice. Andy's wife does all our artwork, and it opens up into a nice full like page insert on the. So the CD goes inside it, and then when you open it up, it's like a full, I don't know, probably 8 inches long or whatever.
Okay.
And so we can sign in there, but it also. There's great art on the inside that you get when you buy the stuff, too.
Yeah, because it's a memento piece, right? So, like, it has to be more than just the disc.
Yeah, Anna does all of our artwork.
Anna does all your artwork?
Except
I knew she did some photography.
Yeah.
Okay.
She's a great graphic designer.
Yeah. She does artwork. The exception is the Open Water artwork, which we'll play the song later. Clinton Worthington did the original painting. He's a painter out of La Porte.
Okay.
And he was a live painter for a band I was in for a little while. And he did a great job. And Anna and I kind of adapted his piece to fit like an album artwork. So it has her like style still too. It fits in really well with the artwork for this year.
Okay, so there's the crux of that song. So that painting, that artist inspired that. Where does the inspiration for most of your songs come from? Where do you find that nugget to plant that seed and it grows into a song?
That is a really good question.
That is a good question.
Chris and I have been writing together for a really, really, really long time. So everything at this point is pretty natural. You know, we write about what we know and what we feel, personal experiences and stuff like that. That's, you know, I think that's where a lot of good art comes from. A lot of honest art comes from personal experience, but we try to keep it open and accessible so that other people can easily relate it to their lives and their situations. But as far as our inspiration goes,
I think the music is the inspiration right now. Like, if we were just talking about the writing process a couple weeks ago, and most of the songs that have been written, the process has been, there's like, riff ideas or musical ideas first, which DJ then takes and kind of analyzes into lyrics, and that becomes that.
So, DJ, are you the lyricist primarily?
Yes.
Okay.
I'm already getting roasted over text by my family.
Gotta love technology.
My aunt just asked if they had headphones big enough for my head.
Actually, we just brought in the extra large ones, man.
Oh.
They're wheeling them in on a hand truck right now.
Oh.
Oh, brutal.
Oh,
so lyrically, does the music come first, and then DJ, you pick it up and write lyrics to it? Or
I would say it's about 60-40. Music comes first, lyrics come first. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I come with a full, you know, chorus or something with music and lyrics to writing practice, and then we adapt that. Usually that's just a chord progression and a vocal line and like some kind of lyrics. So our song Man in Lincoln from our last album, that came from there. And
We try to be pretty integrated.
Yeah.
Where like I don't want to write a whole lot of the song without having an idea of what the lyrics could be, or like having a theme, even if there's no lyrics yet, but mm-hmm. where I kind of know how the lyrics might feel or how we want them to go.
Like the mood?
Like a mood. Okay. Yeah, or an actual like theme, so like what it's about.
Okay.
Helps me shape the song, because then I have something to write like against. I try not to like answer
or
like,
the narrative.
It's like in the yeah, narrative's a good way to say that. Like it's in the universe, man. But like what's the thing with the sculpture where it's like it's already in the marble. I just set it free from the marble.
Oh, okay.
That, right? The
I've heard that.
That sounds like somebody with a big head would say.
Yeah, I think it's like Da Vinci or something.
Or Paul McCartney.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, when Paul McCartney sculpts, he just looks at the marble and he's like, the sculpture's already in there. I just set it free, man.
So with Stop, Drop, Rewind, what would you say, and this might be an ego-driven answer, and not necessarily
yes,
just looking at Chris.
This one's for Chris.
Yeah, okay. All
but... Right. What would you say makes you guys stand out from the pack? Why should people look you up on Spotify or follow someone or come see you? What makes Stop, Drop, Rewind a unique act that you think people need to know you because of?
We're writing thoughtful and relatable music that is secretly intricate.
Secretly, so you won't share that.
We sneak it in there so that you don't know you're listening to an odd meter.
It's a secret. If you learn our riffs, we'll sue you.
Yeah.
But that is when I mentioned earlier that you're modern rock, but you do have a very strong progressive jazz input, because that is some of the odd time signatures mm-hmm. and things that
and
you
the,
guys
the
do.
Different progressions and stuff mm-hmm. that we use, chord qualities and stuff that a lot of other rock bands just aren't playing with right now.
A lot of, and not to disparage any
no,
rock
not at all.
There's
a lot of great music happening
right
now.
There's a lot of musicians that don't get it when it comes to that kind of stuff. I mean, not everybody's going to understand Ornette Coleman or even Miles Davis or any of those guys. They're going to say, oh, that sounds really weird. How do you do that? What is that? They're not going to understand the musicality, I guess, of it, mm-hmm. of how you write and score in a way that you guys do, because you're obviously very knowledgeable and I'm sure well schooled. Are you guys all sight read or anything like
yeah.
that?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, also, you know, when it comes to that type of thing,
you're like that certain, you're like that level up from the local guy in the garage. I mean, you guys are educated.
Well, and I don't think that necessarily is the most important thing.
Okay.
I think we just, you know, we try to sit with those types of ideas that are more intricate until we can explain them, or we can present them, I should say, present's a good word for that, so we can present them to the listener in the way that makes sense to them.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah.
So it's more of like a working man's prog, I guess, or a more relatable prog. And I think that's probably the unique part about it, is like, if you've never understood prog music, this is prog that will help you get into other mm-hmm. styles of that.
It's a gateway prog.
It's the gateway prog.
Well, let's play another song.
All right.
And take people through that gateway. Which one should we do?
This is the new one.
Yeah, this is brand new. This song comes out next Wednesday. We just finished recording it with Roy Robley in Hammond. He's great. He's done all of our stuff since Polarity. And yeah, this is a song that is about media bias and learning to think for yourself. So,
oh God,
it's fake. Okay,
present company excluded, of course.
All right, let's play it.
Just words of scary stories. The sound is so distorted, it's not even real. Just maps of territories. It's a reader's allegory. The story is sealed. For a cup of coffee, it starts flying, then it crosses the line. This presentation holds the weight of your name. What's the word for a copy of a copy?
when you've seen enough. A four just carries stories. The sound is so distorted, it's not even real. Just matches territories. History is allegory, the story is sealed. What a glorious deal. Set aside what you're trying to find. Bring your monsters to life and defeat them. For being creatures of habit, turn lies into carnival rides, twist you in circles till you're sick from the spin. Repeat the process till it's automatic. Go blind to the scales in your eyes. You spill your guts and then you riot again. What's the price of a cup of coffee? Exactly what you had in mind. Turn lies into carnival rides. It's up to you to decide when you've seen enough. A four just carries stories. The sound is so distorted, it's not even real. Just matches territories. History is allegory, the story is sealed. What a glorious deal. Set aside what you're trying to find. Bring your monsters to life and defeat them.
And scary stories, and that seems apropos coming up on Halloween. That is new music, never heard before,
ever,
and sure to be heard again from Stop Drop Rewind. New single coming out next Wednesday. Is
yes.
that right?
Yep.
And they'll find it where again?
YouTube, Facebook, Spotify, Google Play, Apple Music. I'm pretty sure you can find us on TouchTunes. So if you want,
I've never
to,
heard of that one.
That's the one. That's the jukebox in the bar.
Okay.
Where you can
oh, okay.
play off your phone. So if you like Stop, Drop, Rewind, go ahead and go to your local bar
and share
just play all Stop, Drop, Rewind songs all day.
There you go.
If you make a long video montage,
buy you
I'll
one.
Send you a t-shirt.
All right. StopDropRewind.com is the website where
Correct.
You can find them.
It'll be there
and
too.
And then Stop, Drop, Rewind on Facebook, and there are periods between it there. Correct?
Yes.
It so you is, have to put you, the periods in.
Yeah, if you type it in, it's it finds it on Facebook without the periods.
Okay.
Spotify, it does not. So you do have to put in Stop, Period, Drop, Period, Rewind, because apparently Spotify's algorithm is not as good as our Google and or Facebook overlords.
I have often heard people say stop, drop, and rewind.
Yes.
And that's got to be frustrating. I remember it reminds me of when back in the 80s, a local band in the late 70s actually called Shoes out of Zion. And everyone said, the Shoes. It was everything was Shoes. The neck, the this,
oh,
the
yeah,
that.
Yeah.
And they intentionally said, we aren't a the band. So it was just Shoes. If you said the Shoes, they wouldn't talk. If you're interviewing them, you say, oh, the Shoes, they just sit there and look at you. Oh, I'm sorry, I meant Shoes. Now they'd talk. So maybe you guys need to have that hard edge. You do an interview and they say stop, drop, and rewind. You just sit there and fold your arms.
Right.
That seems like a really 70s thing that is not going to fly anymore.
I don't know. Politely correcting people hasn't worked for us either.
Yeah.
Wow. So how many singles? You've got three. We've played two so far. We're going to play another one in a little bit. You've got three that are done and ready to start releasing.
Correct.
Now, how many songs do you plan on doing as singles before you start collecting them for the physical
Five.
Album? So it'll be an EP then?
It will be.
It'll
yeah.
be
so,
a seven-track EP.
Correct.
That's almost that's not even an EP. That's almost like a small album.
Well, yeah. Well, yeah.
Especially because our songs are generally pretty long.
Yeah.
So you'll probably get at least a half hour of music out of seven songs.
Yeah. Floating Stone came out in April, and Open Water came out in July, and then Words and Scary Stories comes out Wednesday.
Was that because of Halloween?
No, but it
just
worked
out
really, really well.
It just seemed like a really good theme.
So I'm just like rolling, I'm just going with it.
Okay. Go ahead.
And then Andy's recording drums on the fourth one, on that, the 30th also, so that is underway. We have... The fifth one is to be determined, I guess, right now. But we're also going to do, we have recorded an old song of ours that we did before Andy and Matt were in the band.
Mm-hmm.
And we're re-recording it because we've still been playing it live and people still enjoy the song. So that it's basically the five songs from this year on the EP with two like bonus tracks
okay.
that will not be on the
but
streaming
But they'll be
services.
Re-recordings.
Well, one
yeah,
of them
well,
is actually a new
new
song. It's just going to be an acoustic new song that we're almost done writing.
Now, you guys, DJ and Chris, you guys are from Boston?
Baltimore. In fact, my dad just texted me. My parents still live in Baltimore. The Shoes were a 70s or 80s band
Shoes.
From... The Shoes were from Hagerstown, Maryland.
Okay.
Well, that's why the other band couldn't be Shoes.
I know. They had to be Shoes because the Shoes were there from Hagerstown.
Oh, now it becomes clear 40 years later. but you guys were from Baltimore. How did you come to the region?
We went to Valparaiso University.
You came here just to go to school and you stayed here?
Yes.
Chris did. I came out here. I actually started college at the University of Maryland. And since, by college, we'd already been playing music together for about 10 years. So I wanted to see it through together. You know, I was happy with the products we were making. So I moved out here to join this band and also finish college there.
Okay. Now, you met when you were preteens.
We were 10.
Yeah.
Was it music that brought you together, or baseball, or just hanging out in the playground?
We were so nerdy and ugly that no one else wanted to talk to us. And so we had to be friends because no one else would be friends with us, except for one guy who had a guitar, and I had a drum set. So I told Chris he had to be our bassist, and that's worked out for him okay, I think.
And now I play bass full-time.
There you go. Yeah, you know, that's kind of, again, to reference Paul McCartney, he was a guitar player, and John said, you have to play. We got George Harrison on guitar and me on guitar. Can't have three guitar players unless you're Leonard Skinner. And they didn't exist then.
Right, and we are not Leonard Skinner.
No.
Especially we were not Leonard Skinner when we were 10.
What were you playing when you guys got together? I mean, what kind of music? Because this is definitely unique. The style you play is unlike most bands I hear today. I mean, there are a few, and most of them Andy's turned me on to, that play this style where you've got all these strange oddities of music that are actually quite brilliant as opposed to pop. But yet it's pop, it's high energy, you can dance, like they say in Dick Clark, I'll give it a 10, you can dance to it. Wait
until
before
the mix,
your
until
time.
The mix meter starts and everybody's dancing and they all like trip on themselves and fall over.
So, I mean, what... I forgot my whole original question. What were you playing when you were young?
We learned to play together. So we started playing together. Chris was playing guitar or was playing bass on the bottom four strings of one of my dad's guitars plugged into a bass amp.
Okay.
I did not really play. I was the drummer for that band. I did not really play drums. I just had a drum set and we were just learning, you know. We wrote songs about what we knew even then, like not wanting to go to school.
Oh, yeah.
Or being
we had a standardized math testing song.
Yeah.
That was a good one.
You should resurrect some of those.
Oh, we recorded them. We released a full length when we, well, 10 songs, about 25 minutes when we were 13.
10 songs, 14? 25 minutes.
Oh, dude, it's super short. The longest track is the bonus track, and I cannot say what it is on the radio.
Oh, wow. Yeah, it's like true teenage angst. You're like 12, and you're writing about school, not wanting to go, math tests.
Yes.
That is true angst.
Yeah. Oh, correct. Yeah. It's honestly probably the most honest music I've ever made.
Wow. Is that anywhere out there? I mean, have you loaded it under my house?
No, yeah, we have it. My parents have it. I'm sure that at my wedding it's going to come out at some point. But no, it's not on the internet. You could probably find our high school band.
I don't think you can anymore.
You know, we might have been. Oh, yeah, they took down Pure Volume.
Yeah.
We might have been on MySpace. Our MySpace might still be active, but we had an emo band in high school as well. Okay. Same lineup as our not wanting to go to school band. We just changed our name and got real emo. And then we stopped doing that.
Okay. So you came here. You're in Valpo. You're still making music, and you decide you want to get a band together that's actually going to play out, and you stumble across Andy here, who, Randy, you are from the region.
Yep.
Born and bred, right?
Yep.
Yeah, that was much. That was a lot later.
That was a lot later.
That was we had been a band for 7 years before we got Andy.
Oh, okay. So just the two of you, or had other members?
We had other members.
Yeah, a lot of people that we met at college, you know, played with us. We mostly at that time we were playing around campus, you know, trying to break off campus into like smaller local shows. The metal scene was very welcoming to us actually at that
really?
Time.
Really?
Yes.
Yeah.
As Stop Drop Rewind,
I cannot say enough good things about them. Honestly. We were doing something that nobody else on those shows was doing, and we walked in, and there's all these like super tough metal guys, and I'm like, we're gonna get our butts kicked for this. For
we never got beat up. We never got anything stolen. Nobody.
Everybody
ever gave
was
us a hard time.
Very complimentary. They understood like what we were doing because a lot of those metal bands, those musicians are also good players, and you know, so they appreciated the musicality. I mean, nothing but nice things we got from them.
A lot of the stuff you do, and not the sound per se, but some of the stuff you do reminds me a little of Dream Theater.
Okay.
Whereas they're a little more harder or heavier. You guys are a little more poppy.
I listen to a decent amount of progressive metal and take a lot of influence from it because like the playing, it never ends up sounding like that.
Right. But I mean, but I think I could understand why the metal guys would appreciate you because Dream Theater was huge.
Well, it got me into a lot of that, which has crept into our songs more. We used to be way more like pop punk kind of stuff with some progressive elements too. And then now we've incorporated more like heavy.
Mm-hmm.
It never sounds heavy because it's us, but like. It feels heavy when I write it, and then it comes out, and I'm like, eh, okay, it still sounds good.
It turns out me and Matt play Telecasters.
Yeah, I know.
Okay. So, Andy, you joined many years later. What brought you to the group?
Well, I had played with them when they were in college for one night at their rehearsal space, and at the time I didn't have any car or anything, so I decided not to do it, and years later, after I had already built like a playing career a little bit, I wanted to do an original project. And I always really liked everything that they had done. I felt like it was really relatable and like the musicality of it was really good. And so they had posted online that said that, hey, we're still looking for a drummer. And so I replied to that ad and we just started getting together. And
how long ago was that?
2015.
Beginning of 2015, yeah.
Okay. And you guys have been playing since the, like, 99, 2000?
2000, yeah.
2000?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm trying to do the math in my head. Yeah.
They called me, the first song they called me and played it on the phone. So, like, a landline, they called my dad's house, obviously.
Wow.
And DJ and our friend Mike, who was the guitar player, or the guy with the guitar, they played me the cow song. And the cow song.
Yeah.
And the cheese song and the potato song over a landline phone, which sounds like... And, they were all the same progression. It's like just a Blink-182 song, and it was just like, I like cows. Cows are cool. Cows have spots. I like cows. Yeah.
Wow. Because
we were 11, and it's like, you know. And then I'm sure there were some toilet humor versions of those songs, but
Most honest music I've ever written. I stand by it.
I really want to hear those one day.
Those were not recorded because that was just like half a record.
Maybe when you guys play at the Record Bin, you could do a couple of those.
Oh,
just for fun. Just for giggles.
We've written so much. Like, I don't even know. We'd have to like learn them off the recordings because we had an acoustic project that we did full band.
How difficult could it be? I like how they have spots.
I thought you meant the band. I gotta memorize those lyrics and I can't.
We'll bring you a music stand.
Thank you.
Get a teleprompter.
Oh, God.
So, Andy, you've got your hands in a lot of stuff, and not only handling the business side and playing drums for these guys, but you play in a lot of bands. All of you guys play in a lot of bands. How do you keep it straight? I mean, obviously, you want to make a living making music, and that's why you're doing the things you do. But how do you keep your different styles of different shows? I mean, you do jazz, you do R&B, you do rock. You even do Dixieland, which is a variation of jazz. So how do you keep the... What is your favorite aspect of music, I guess, if there's a style that you prefer to play? And how do you keep it all straight? Because to me, it would be confusing. It'd be like speaking seven languages.
I like music that makes you feel something. Okay. Or that's honest, or that like is effective. I always use that word as effective. You know, music that is that we're kind of in an era now. I was just thinking about this the other day, where it's like
here comes a hot take.
We're kind of in an era now where everything kind of has to be effective. I feel like in the '60s and '70s there was a lot of experimentation going on, and mm-hmm. you could do really well like with a few really effective songs, and then filler for the rest. But because of YouTube and the internet, and you can learn everything on the fly, we're kind of in this weird era where everything you do has to be effective, otherwise it gets lost. Right? It has to like make you feel something. So I mean, and I've always really liked anything that was that I could understand, I guess, or mm-hmm. not just understand, but like for some reason just made me feel a certain way. Yeah, and it's hard to explain, but that's basically
so the style
what it is.
Is secondary to how the song makes
yes.
you feel emotionally.
Right. Okay. Right. Right. Because music can be anything, right? So music can just make you, you know, music is essentially just feeling with sound.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I've done.
Or is it sound
I've done
with
everything.
Feeling?
Whoa. Or is it sound with feeling? Yes.
Such a paradox.
Speaking seven languages probably isn't, I don't speak, is probably not confusing to a person who does it. It probably feels very natural.
Okay.
We try to work hard to like do the things that we do well and like be prepared. And so like I try to sound natural when I play those things,
mm-hmm.
To varying levels of effectiveness, but you know, you try to get better. It's fun to like change, like mix it up a little bit, right? So you do like a rock gig on a Thursday, and then you do a jazz gig on Friday, and you do like a pop gig on Saturday, and then.
And I think if you approach a new style or something as yourself, but you look at yourself as like, I only play blues or I only play prog or I only do that. Mm-hmm. If you look at yourself like that, and you look at like jazz from a prog perspective, it's not going to make sense.
Yeah, you have to approach it from its own terms first. You can
right.
Once you learn it, then you can start messing
with it.
It's like
Peter Erskine always says, you know, like everybody says that, you know, everybody says that playing Latin music is hard, and then he says, "Oh, is Chinese a hard language?" And they said, "Yeah." And they said, "Oh, you know, there's 4-year-olds in China that can speak Chinese."
Yeah.
You know?
I guess that makes sense. Yeah. Now, Chris in particular, the bass often is an instrument that doesn't get a lot of respect. In most bands. No,
and rightly so, I think.
In most bands. But the flip side of that is when you play, I'm fascinated to watch you. I'm trying to word this.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, though. That's a nice compliment.
When I watch you play jazz or funk, you are so into it. I mean, it's amazing. It's like watching Stanley Clarke or watching somebody of that caliber. And then I turn around and I see you play a pop song. And it's just a groove. How do you not get bored? I mean, you are this guy that can play all this cool stuff, and then you have to go back and kind of sit in the corner and paint by numbers. Is that frustrating?
That's part of the instrument.
Okay.
I really like bass. That's like my thing that I do with my life. And I'm very passionate about it. So it kind of goes along with Andy's being effective statement.
Mm-hmm.
If you played a pop song in the way like how you would do like a Stanley Clarke song,
okay.
It would not be effective. And so it wouldn't it wouldn't sound good to someone who's listening to it, and so you don't really want to do that.
Because it wouldn't fit. Wouldn't
correct.
Fit the song.
So I can write, okay, you know, kind of whatever music we want for our band because it's our band. But if I'm working for someone else, like doing a sideman thing, you want to present an effective product. It's like a craftsman kind of situation.
So you're building a cabinet, and you want to build a giant one, and they want a little one for the desk. So you have to do what they want. They're the client.
Yeah, okay. It's not as like that makes it sound kind of harsh.
That also kind of makes it sound like that. You want to only build a big cabinet,
right? Which is not
really the point. The point is to create like an effective musical product, mm-hmm. and when it feels good in the moment, then it's also fun for you because you know drums are kind of the same way. Sometimes you just got to give a backbeat, you know.
Right.
And if you can make it feel really good, you know, then it's fun.
And sometimes a backbeat is really just hard to do. Look at Charlie Watts, one of the best drummers out there, and yet he looks so simple.
And it's also hard to gel with everybody with a backbeat if you
keep throwing things in. You got to play with different people.
Yeah, and you know I think the interesting part of playing that stuff is not what you can do on your instrument. It's how well can you gel together and what can we create as a group? Mm-hmm. So you're not so much paying attention to yourself. You're paying attention to the product you're creating and the feel you're creating. And that's what the fun part is in those styles of music.
Okay. Andy, as a drummer, who would you say was a primary influence? And I love jazz. I love old jazz. And there's always the great debate, Buddy Rich, Gene Krupa, you know, who are the drummers
that
you feel?
It's not that old for jazz.
Well,
I mean, it's not really a debate to me. You know, like, I guess I used to look at music that way. I don't really look at that like that anymore, mm-hmm. you know, because to me it's not really a competition, you know. Okay. At some point, you know, when you're like in college or you're learning to play and stuff, it's all like, oh, who would win in a battle? Like Neil Peart, like everybody says, Neil Peart's the best drummer ever. Like, blah, blah, you know, like right. all this kind of stuff. But, you know, like Chris said, they were effective in their situation. And, you know, talk about like Buddy Rich, people will be like, oh, he's the greatest ever. Like nobody will be able to play what he played. But you can go down to any music school in downtown New York or LA or whatever, and there's probably 12 drummers that can play exactly like Buddy Rich because they learned to cop his techniques, and mm-hmm. that's what they're studying right now.
He's
great because he did it at the time he did it, and he took the opportunities he did. It's not because of the techniques he used or the sound that he had. It's just because he had the balls to do it at the time that mm-hmm. he did.
Kind of like Hendrix. You get a lot of guys that can play Hendrix now.
Everybody can play Jimi Hendrix. Yeah, back then nobody knew what he was doing. You know,
I can't play Jimi Hendrix.
Well, that's a good example too.
You can
about playing versus being effective, because I do a lot of classic rock stuff mm-hmm. Right now, and but I have a jazz background, and people don't know. Like the act is not about. It's not me. Like there, it's like a name thing, and then So all the guys there are like total classic rock, psychedelic rock fans from growing up. They were all like 13 when like Cream and Hendrix and like the early Stones and the Beatles stuff were happening. So like they think that like Hendrix and like Clapton and like Stevie Ray Vaughan and those guys are like the best guitar players on like the planet. And mm-hmm. they're like, which one do you think is like the best guitar player? And it's like, or they're like, they're the greatest of all time. And it's like, if you listen to one like Wes Montgomery song, because right. they think the shredding is like the thing that is good about it,
right?
And that's fine that they like it, but it's like I can pull up 10 albums right now with like way more intense playing on it, mm-hmm. but you're not going to like it because you're not. It doesn't speak to you in that way where you were like 13,
right?
And like doing a J, smoking a doobie in your room, listening to Big Records and stuff,
right? Big Records,
right?
Big Records.
Well, they're huge,
12-inch records.
Yeah. And doesn't make you feel that way,
right?
So I think about that a lot recently because it's like, well, yeah, those guys are good, but I don't. That's not my like high level playing kind of guy. Not that it's not great.
You mentioned Wes Montgomery because I discovered Wes through George Benson. I don't think there would have been a George Benson had there not been a Wes Montgomery. And by listening to George when he first came out and was doing stuff, I really became a fan of his. I found him as a session player on somebody's record, and then I started buying his records. And then I heard an interview where he talked about discovering Wes Montgomery and that style, and I started comparing the styles, and they are so similar in many ways. Do you see that as something that happens with music a lot, where the old school is dying off? They're dead, they're retired, they're long gone, and yet someone had picked up that album. Maybe yourself or somebody that picked up an album from somebody that's long gone, but you're carrying on that sound, that tradition, that Buddy Rich pioneered or whoever pioneered. Is that a way of, I mean, is that...
Actually, there was a really cool interview that we listened to in the car about, that was kind of about this. I can't remember who it was. It was a bass player. Do you remember who it was that was on that podcast?
We listened to Joe Dart. We listened to Geddy Lee.
It was Geddy Lee.
Okay.
And Geddy Lee said, most of the great artists came from trying to sound like their predecessors and failing, right?
Oh yeah.
So you're never going to get you're going to get close to their sound, obviously, and their technique, and you can cop their feel, but you're never going to be that person.
Mm-hmm.
So out of that failure comes your own particular sound, you know? And it's not like people just have one particular influence. People are like a combination of several different influences, and then they learn to like patch those together, and that becomes their own person.
Even for the band, from like a writing perspective, we like, if you played one of our songs and then something like a band like a Newfound Glory or something that like is way less technical just objectively than Stop Drop Rewind is,
mm-hmm.
we're still writing it now after some of those albums came out 15 or almost 20 years ago, and we're like older than the people who were playing it, were still like, man, I really want to get that, like, that Newfound Glory thing in this, like, this spot. Like, I hear this thing, but we're never going to sound like that.
Right.
Or like I just said with the progressive metal, too. It's like, man, I really want to get this contortionist sounding thing down for this song. And then I said at the end
it still just sounds like us. Heavy.
Yeah. You just kind of accept it, was the point, the Geddy Lee point, too. And the accepting it is when you become your own artist.
Yeah, accepting it and using it confidently. You know,
okay.
Once you accept it and then you see how it affects other people, that's the thing right there. That's the whole point, right? Like you accept it and then you have your thing and you know exactly what you do that affects this person this way. Then that's when it becomes easy.
Okay. So
is it easy?
We have singles coming out. We have one more to play.
Yep.
We've got just a couple of minutes left. In closing, what have we not talked about? What do you want to let people know? We've got a couple of minutes left.
Well, of course, please follow along on all your streaming services and on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter with Stop, Period, Drop, Period, Rewind. All the singles for the year will be up there. And then we are getting into our annual programming season, which is very exciting. We will be December 13th is our all-ages Christmas. We run two Christmas shows every year. This will be our fifth year, I think, doing it. And I think we've come in and played the Christmas
you
stuff
did.
Before, yeah. So we'll be
wasn't
playing...
there one that was like Stop, Drop, Rewind, Save Christmas? Yeah,
we certainly did.
Yep.
You're welcome.
I remember that.
We will be commemorating our saving of Christmas at Morton High School on December 13th with it's kind of like a all-ages extravaganza. So there'll be a high school, a band from the high school who's like a rock band class from mm-hmm. that. There'll be some guys in between the high school age and us elderly gentlemen. A band called Leave It to Chance will be playing on that with us, and then we will be saving Christmas for the fifth time. That's December 13th at the Morton High School Hammond Academy for the Performing Arts, and that is an all-ages show, and it will be reasonably in the evening. And if you like adult beverages, and not reasonably in the evening, but quite late, we will be saving Christmas round two at Duffy's Place in Valpo on December 20th.
Great room.
Grown-up Christmas.
Great room.
Yes. So those are our two. We got the Christmas shows coming up. DJ and I are doing a couple acoustic runs, like we said, to promote the band. Before that, we were in Toledo last night. We'll be in Indianapolis at Books and Brews. It's a craft beer bar / library, which
on
sounds
Massachusetts
very cool.
Avenue.
That's tonight.
Yes, it is.
So you're leaving here and going to Indy.
Yes, we are.
Wow. Well, thanks for taking time to be here.
Oh, our pleasure. We've
been in town for like a couple hours. We were in Toledo last night.
We
just
got in.
Passing
about
through.
About 4 a.m. we got in.
Yeah.
Wow.
We're in Canton tomorrow, Ohio, at George's Lounge, which we played over the summer.
That's just the two of you?
Yes.
Okay.
And then we'll be in Bay City, Michigan, and Columbus, and somewhere else in November as well. So we're staying busy until the Christmas shows. And, of course, there'll be the new song Wednesday.
All right. And, Andy, you have your Sunday jam still, right?
Yep. This week you can catch Marilyn Gaza at 3:30 at Region Ale.
All right. Let's play the final song. Remember, you can keep up with the guys at StopDropRewind.com and also on Facebook, Stop Drop Rewind. No and in there. No ampersand. No nothing. Just Stop Drop Rewind. And they've got lots of stuff up online. And, of course, look for the new single to drop Wednesday. What is this one?
This is called Open Water.
Open Water. Well, let's close with opening. Open Water, Stop, Drop, Rewind. Stay with me. Coming up, the Dark Arts will have Magic from the Asylum joining us after this.
You used to dream the way a nervous child would dream. Not what I'd done, but what I thought I was about to. In your dreams, there's no one to doubt you. I conceived a world of rivers, lakes, and streams. You leave the shore and the current flows without you. Can't always reap what you put the plow to. You can't explain what you don't know how to. I'm not afraid of the open water we used to call the coast my home. I'd spend my days on the open water. To spend my time alone. Throw me like changing tides, and I'm going under. Too tired to tow my line. Let me up, unless it seems too late to change my mind. I've got a sinking feeling you'll pull me like changing tides, and I'm going under. Machine to spend my time creating symmetry. Used to seem such a simple song to me to commit my life to such festivity. Winter imagery. What am I missing in a break from your routine? The thing that lifts me up is what is wrong with me. The plow to. I do the only thing I know how to.